I want to say a word about the gospel. And simply, I want to just title the gospel, or I'm sorry, the homily, right out of one line from the gospel. Simply this: but at your command, I will lower the nets. But at your command, Lord, I will lower the nets. See, I want to talk to you today about the gift of faith. And I want to be very clear with you. Sometimes we turn faith into something sort of abstract. It's sort of like, I sort of believe. And it's sort of vague. But you know, in the end, at the end of the day, what faith comes down to? Obedience. It comes down to obedience. It comes down to saying, Lord, because you've said it, I'm going to live my life out of it. Lord, because you've asked me to do it, I'm going to obey. At your command, I will lower the nets. And Jesus is about strengthening Peter's faith today. And he does it in a couple of several stages. And I want to just look at the stages, because all of us are trying to go through similar stages in our life. Now, the first stage I want you to see is that the Lord asked for a help that's not hard. There's a help that isn't hard that the Lord asked of Peter. He simply asked Peter a small favor. Peter, can I use your boat? Could you row out a little bit from the shore so I can... I need a pulpit, Peter. Would you let me use your boat for a pulpit, you know? And Peter says, sure, that's not a problem. That's not hard. In fact, I'll even get a free sermon out of it, you know? And so Peter meets that request. It's a small little thing. The Lord asks it, and he says, sure, I'll do it. Now, church, one of the stages in faith that we all have to do, and it isn't just something you do early in life and leave behind, but it's something that we are asked to do almost every day, and that is the Lord asks of all of us just little things, small obediences that aren't even all that difficult. But doing those small little things are important for us because they prepare us to do bigger things. Little obediences lead to greater obediences. You know, the Lord said in the gospel, if you can trust a man in a small matter, you can trust him in a bigger matter. And then he went on to warn, he says, if you won't even obey in smaller matters, how can I put you in charge of greater matters? So you see, if you want to be, and young people, pay attention to that. If you want to go places in life and you want to get to the high places, you got to learn to do the little things and the lower things better. You see the idea? People learn of your skills and the small things you do, and they put you in charge of bigger things. Now, that's the way life works. A lot of folks just want to go right to the top. They want to come right out of college and go into a six-figure income. Well, guess what? Life doesn't usually work that way. Sometimes you got to put in your time in the back kitchen. You got to wash some dishes. You got to go to school, and you got to study hard. You got to work your way up. And that's the way faith is, too. That one of the reasons we struggle to obey in big things is that sometimes we don't obey in little things. And so I simply say to you, there's lots of little things the Lord just asks us to do each day. Simply to pray every day. Just spend a little time with Him in prayer. Is it that hard? And yet how many of us struggle to do even the little things? The Lord asks of us to be in His house on Sunday. Thank God you're all here today. But I'm just going to say that there are just some of those little things, little kindnesses, things that the Lord asks of us. Maybe it's just a small thing, someone who needs a favor, and the Lord sends them to you, and you take care of them. A little favor you're doing, not just for them, but for the Lord. But don't overlook the little things in life. And so the first thing the Lord simply asked Peter of a small favor. And Peter's delighted to do it. Sure, fine. Come on. I got this boat. Come on. I mean, he already knew about Jesus. Remember, he was a follower of John the Baptist, and John had been talking about Jesus and pointing to him and saying, he's the one. And Peter and Andrew and James and John were all part of John the Baptist's following, and they'd already heard of Jesus. So here comes this rather famous preacher, wants to use my boat. Sure, man. Come on. And Peter's excited and thrilled to do it. So Peter does it, but it's a help that isn't It's not hard at all. It's a simple, small, little thing. But Peter does it. And that's stage one. Now, I want to just say in my own life, some of the little things, you know, the Lord asked of me to pray every day for you and to pray the divine office, to say Mass, and those are things I can do and I love to do, and I enjoy them. I'll say that my walk in faith, the boat that, you know how the Lord asked Peter, can I borrow your boat? Well, the Lord asked me if he could borrow my voice. So when I was in high school, the first way the Lord started to borrow my voice was he got me to join the choir. Now, he spiced it up a little because there was a high school choir and there were lots of pretty girls in that choir. And the Lord says, I want you to come and start singing for me. And he spiced it up a little. I said, sure, I can do that. My mother kind of laughed. She didn't think I could sing very well. but I learned how to sing. But you see, I want you to know that the Lord called me that way. It was a small thing. Just would you come to choir rehearsal and learn to sing a little bit and start to sing for me in my church, in the assembly, in Mass. And sure, Lord. And as I say, I was delighted to do it because there were all these pretty girls I could meet. And I got out of CCD for one session. We had two sessions. I only had to go to one of the two sessions. So the Lord spiced it up. Are you praying with me, church? All right. Now, that was a small thing. But I began to go, and I began to grow. And eventually, I became a leader. I became a cantor and an organist. I played the organ, and I began to, and then I finally became the choir director. But you see, the Lord began with a little thing, just a small little favor he asked of me. And I began to like it, and I began to grow, and the Lord kept increasing. And that's the next thing I want to look at with Simon Peter. But before I do, young people, do you see what's happening? Some of you are going to do liturgical dance today. And soon enough, you may be leaders and leading the liturgical dance in some years ahead. You just don't know. Some of you have been lectors, and you're going to get better at that. And not only will you be a lector in church, but maybe you'll be a public speaker, and you'll learn how to speak publicly and do all kinds of great things there. But you see, you just don't know. But the Lord starts with small little gifts and little favors and little requests, and they tend to grow. Now, here comes, though, the next stage in Peter's journey. At the end of the sermon, the Lord said, Peter, let's go out into some deeper water. I want you to lower your nets for a catch. So we've gone from a help that isn't hard, and now we see a hesitation in Peter that needs to be healed. A hesitation that needs to be healed. Peter says, Lord, we've been hard at it all night now, and you just preached a long sermon. Oh, no, sorry, he didn't say that. Lord, we've been at it hard at it all night, and I'm exhausted, I'm tired. And I'm a little discouraged, honestly. And Peter, you know, was an experienced fisherman. What does this preacher know and this carpenter about fishing? Doesn't he know that you don't catch fish late in the day, in the mid part of the day? That's not the time to fish. Doesn't he know you do that late at night and early in the morning? So Peter's hesitating. He's like, well, we've been hard at it all day. So he stops and he hesitates. Now the Lord's asking, what he's asking is a little harder. All Peter wants to do is go home and rest. And he's a little discouraged. So he hesitates. And what gets Peter out of that hesitation? What is it that helps Peter to move beyond what he hesitates to do himself? What is it that gets Peter to step out of his own agenda and into the Lord's agenda? What is it that gets Peter to move from, I want to go home and rest, to, I'm going to go and lower my nets in deeper water right now? What is it? And the answer is simply this: obedience. Obedience. Listen, church, I'm going to just tell you, there is an obedience that has to come with faith. And sometimes the Lord asks of us things that we hesitate to do. And sometimes it's only obedience that's going to win the day. You know, sometimes, I want to just say this, we live in a culture that's sort of down on obedience and authority and so on, but I want you to know, as a man under authority, I find authority and obedience to authority actually a very freeing thing. Because sometimes it gets me to do things that I wouldn't do myself. I remember some years ago, Cardinal McCarrick asked me to be part of a team that raised many, many millions of dollars, the Forward in Faith campaign. Someone say, oh boy, Forward in Faith, remember that? But I learned some things about myself that I never knew before. I learned that I was able to sit down and ask people to do difficult things. I learned that I wasn't just asking for myself, I was asking for God. And I learned to have more courage. But you see, by myself, I would have never done that. But because someone I was in authority, under his authority, said, I want you to do this, I said, I will do it. Because you're asking, I will do it. I want you to know something. I'm here today by the grace of God, but also by the favor of Cardinal Wuerl. And it's a beautiful, freeing thing for me to be here because I know I'm exactly where I need to be because someone that I trust has said, that's where I want you to be, and that's the ministry I want you to be doing right now. And it's a freeing thing. I don't have to get up and agonize. Am I supposed to be doing something different? Should someone else take over? What's going on? You know, I just know I'm exactly where I need to be because someone I trust has said, do it, do it, take care of it. I want you to go and take care of that. And Cardinal Wuerl's also asked me to do a number of other things. I remember one thing some years ago, I would read the blogs, but I said, I would never want to write a blog. Boy, that's a lot of work, and that's hard. All of a sudden, I got a call one day from Cardinal McCarrick, and he said, would you do me a favor? We want to start a blog for the Archdiocese, and would you start writing the blog? Yeah. Cardinal, I've been at it hard all day, you know. I said, yes. And to this day, I've been writing every day, and I've now got, you know, 8 to 12,000 hits on that blog, and it's a big pulp, and I reach a lot of people. But I would have never started that except for obedience. The Cardinal asked me. I prayed. I asked the Lord. The Cardinal asked me again. I said, yes, I'll do it. And I've been obedient ever since. And it's become very fruitful. It's a very fruitful vineyard for me right now. I would have never done that if I hadn't been told to do it. Are you praying with me? And are any of you doing stuff right now that you wouldn't have ever done unless someone had told you to do it? And now it's a blessing to you. And now you're bringing in a harvest. But I'm just going to tell you, you might have never done it unless somebody said you got to do it. Church, there's just something about obedience. Faith is not some abstraction. It's about obeying the Lord. It's about when I know what the Lord has told me to do, I'm going to obey him and I'm going to do it. And so Peter overcomes his own hesitation by simply saying this, Lord, at your command, I will lower the nets. I don't want to do it. I'd rather not do it. I'd rather go home and sleep. But Lord, because you commanded it, I'm going to do it. Now, we know where this is headed, but just stay with me for a moment in this obedience. Now, look, church, all of us have got to learn to obey God. That's what faith is ultimately about. Faith is a form of obedience. And all of us, first of all, have to follow the moral law. There may be some things you'd rather you didn't have to do or things you'd like to do but you can't do. And in the end, we've got to learn to obey God in the moral law. And there comes many blessings with that. But that's the first obedience we all have together, to obey the moral law and to accept the revealed truths of our faith. But then there's all sorts of other calls that you have personally from the Lord, maybe to get married or to enter religious life. We have some men studying for the priesthood, and their form of obeying God is hearing that call and moving. Some of you are obeying the call. I see several couples here who are engaged. They're getting ready to get married. They've heard a call from God, and they're getting ready for a vocation called marriage and family. Some of you are raising children. And again, you heard and are obeying a call to raise up your children in the holy fear of the Lord. So we all have those calls that we hear from the Lord. And once we become clear about it, we got to obey him and follow that. And so you see the vision here. Peter has gone now from a simple little thing that doesn't really cost him much. Now the Lord's asking for something that hurts a little more. It's a little less easy for him to do, something he'd rather not do. But he does it anyway. And so then that leads us to the third and final point. We've seen that there was a help that wasn't hard. And then there was a hesitation that needed to be healed, and it was healed through obedience. And the third thing then comes, the harvest that's hauled. I said the harvest that is hauled in, amen? Because there comes from this obedience a remarkable harvest. So many fish that the nets are tearing and the boats are sinking. Church, I'm just going to tell you, faith is a form of obedience. And when you and I learn to obey God, there is a harvest and an abundant harvest. Are you praying with me, church? Now listen, Peter gets that pretty quick feedback, doesn't he? He has his harvest right away. Just obey the Lord and boom, the fish are in the net. Hallelujah. Some of us, I'm just going to say most of us, sometimes don't get the harvest quite that quick. But I tell you, church, you keep growing in your obedience to God, and the harvest starts to grow, and the harvest starts to come in, and it begins to grow and multiply. Now, church, I'm just going to say, I'm a witness. I have been learning in my journey of faith more and more as I go along to obey God more and more, to begin to submit myself to His teachings, to follow His law, to stay at the prayer wheel, to get to Mass, of course, every Sunday, but I get to Mass every day, praise God. To pray every day, make my holy hour, to get to confession once a week, to read God's word, to gather in fellowship with God's people. I tell you, as I become more and more obedient to God's commands for me, my harvest is coming in. And my harvest is an abundant harvest. I tell you, I'm a changed man. I'm not what I want to be, but I am not what I used to be. There is a wonderful harvest in my life. A harvest that comes from learning greater self-control. A harvest that's learning how to obey God and submit myself to His holy will, to live my life in moderation and be generous to the poor. And I have so many blessings I could tell you about it. Or is it just me, church? Am I the only witness in this house? When we learn to obey God, there comes in a harvest. I'm just going to say, I'm not saying my nets are tearing yet, but they're getting close, all right? I'm just going to say that my boat isn't sinking, but it's getting full, amen? I'm going to say that I am a blessed man, and I don't take any credit for it. I'm just going to tell you what the Lord did for me. The Lord has inspired in me an increasing obedience to His word, an increasing obedience to His teachings. And as I begin to root my life in that, my life is bringing in a greater and a greater harvest. You know, church, I'll just say this, that going back to that blog that I write, 8,000 to 12,000 hits a day, and it's still growing. I'm just going to say, you know, you got to pray because your pastor stays busy with that, but I'm just going to say, I'm reaching a lot of people, and they're from all over the world. You know how the internet is, right? You know, someone writes in from, I get people that write in from China and from Bolivia and from Africa and just all over God's green acre. It's an amazing thing. That's just one small example, but I tell you, church, you obey God, you begin to bring in a harvest that you would have never imagined. And I'll just say this again. I don't know what all of you thought about as all those names were proclaimed. But have you ever thought that we are also a harvest for all those people who we called out? They toiled in God's vineyard, they spoke the word, they prayed. We're singing songs today that are the fruits of their creativity. We are their offspring, still proclaiming Jesus Christ because they announced Him. Look at the fruits. Look around this church. There's a lot of harvest that comes when people obey God and hand on the faith. Are you praying with me, church? So again, I simply say all these things to you today. Simon Peter has been led in stages. The Lord asked him a little thing, and that little thing grew to a more difficult thing, but he obeyed, and he brought in a huge harvest. So I'm just going to say to you today, children, young people, you got to work hard in school. You got to put in the time. You got to obey your parents, obey your teachers, and you got to obey the Lord. You live your life according to God's law. You begin to call on His name, and you begin to learn what He teaches you, and you obey what He commands you. I promise you a rich harvest. Your life will not be without hardships, but your life will go well, and you will grow, and you will increase. I say this to you as one who's learned that by experience. When I've learned to obey God, my life goes a lot better. Lord, at your command, I will lower the nets. There may be things in your life today, right now, church, that you're resisting. Maybe it's a moral issue. There's something in your life that's not in accord with God's word right now. And you need someone to remind you, to command you. You gotta clean that part of your life up. If it helps to have it, God just gave you a command. At your command, I'll lower the nets of obedience. I'll lower the nets here. I will put down my guard. I will begin to try and obey you in this. And when I fall, I will go to confession. I will not go on calling good what you call evil or sinful. I will lower the net of obedience. I promise you a rich harvest. Likewise, there may be something you know the Lord is asking you to do. Maybe it's something you'd rather not do, but you're praying over it. If you hear the Lord tell you to do it, lower the nets. Lord, at your command, I'm going to lower the nets. And I'm going to take up this work you've asked me to do. And I'm going to do it, and I'm going to obey you. I promise you, church, from obedience comes a rich harvest. Lord, at your command, I will lower the nets. You know right now. And pray that the Lord will show you what that means in your life. What does it mean for you to lower the nets and obey His command? What does it mean for you? What does it mean for me? Lent is coming. This is a time for us to reflect on what that means at a practical level. So let your yes become a yes, a complete yes. My soul, Lord, says yes, completely yes. At your command, I will lower the nets. Amen.